This is the Blockwatch Report, the ultimate Path to Pro podcast, covering news around the scene, breaking down key matches, and interviewing your favorite players, coaches, and personalities from contenders and Open Division. Now, here are your hosts, Thorn Rain and Kyle Wynn.
And welcome back for another episode of the Blockwatch Report. I am your host, Thorn Rain, and with me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing tonight, Kyle?
Pretty good. It's officially leaf blower time, and so hopefully that doesn't come through, but that's all I hear right now is leaf blowers outside of my window.
Good times. We're almost there. I think it's like 38, 40 outside right now. So, I mean, we're getting close. I can start wearing shorts in about 5 degrees. So, that's the joys of being, like, born in the north. 45 degrees is shorts weather here. So, but we are on episode 53. We always start off kind of doing what we did recently in the past week. So Kyle, anything interesting going on with you?
So I got, alpha access for this game called, Satisfactory, which is like one of those logistics factory games where you got to mine ores and then turn it into stuff and then build stuff. I went ham on that, did like 6 hours, 7-8 hours this weekend. It was super duper fun. Played some more Apex, got a couple wins here and there. And then, I don't think I did anything else. I've just been busy working and stuff. What about you?
Continuing to drive around high school males to Fortnite tournaments. My son and his duo partner won $158 at the last tournament. Took first place, beat the Land Center's sponsored duo team. Absolutely dumped on him. Was 2 points shy of getting the points record for a single event. So that was pretty cool. Realizing that being an esports dad is a pain in the rear because I'm having to drive further and further away to find them competition that actually gives them competition. So it's kind of rough there. Fantasy. I'm actually in first place in one of my unlimited drafts. So that's super hype. My pick'ems, not so much. A lot of really weird picks going on, but I mean, other than that, trying to get in a little bit of Apex, looking at new PC parts so I can upgrade and actually start streaming games. You guys can watch my horrible play shortly once I get everything hooked up, but other than that, man, it's just been working and prepping for the show. So let's move down into this. We've got no new iTunes reviews, so definitely still looking for iTunes reviews. We love reading those on the show. We did get 2 new Twitch followers. Both of these are from a little while ago, so I got to apologize to you guys. Hamus and Jolf. You might recognize the Jolf name because he currently plays for, I believe it is...
Square One,
yes. So thank you.
Unless it's an imposter.
Thank you, Jolf. Maybe we'll get you on the show. We haven't talked to anybody from Square One yet, so we'll have to see about that. But let's get down into the news. As always, our news is brought to you by our Patreon. You can head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport and become a Patreon and officially sponsor our news. This week's news is going to be sponsored by Mr. Thugly, so thank you so much for the sponsorship, and let's take it away.
So, news here for, I guess, community scene-ish news. It's interesting that Second Wind is looking for players to fill out a second roster for Open Division. Is it Third Wind? I don't know. Second Wind 2?
Second Fourth Wind? Like, when I saw the tweet, I was confused because I was like, you guys will go back into trials. Like, are you looking to have like an academy team for an unsigned team? Like, what's going on? It's weird, but I mean, it's cool. Like, if they're going to help, you know, build up some, you know, tier 3, tier 4 players, hey, I'm all for it. That's, you know, really interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking at this for me. It's just, it doesn't say anything too much besides they're just building an open division team. I think they're building another farm system or something, I guess. Interesting. They just want to have teams to feed into their team. But then, since there's no other scene news, I'll take the start us off on the roster moves here. Elivote, formerly of God, what team? Angry Titans, yes. Has officially joined Team Envy after McGravy got called up to Mayhem. So, just shifting up everyone. You know, every spot has to get filled. It seems like so. Good for Elivote for coming. I don't know if he's in. I don't think he's in the States yet. I think it's going to be a little while. I think yeah. There's still a lot of tier two players playing from far away that eventually are going to work their way over. But like it's, as we've seen from Sideshow, it's a slow damn process.
And that's somebody who's been here on a work visa, like
four. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he should be the easy one. So, yeah, it's probably going to be a little while before we see some of these guys coming over. But then we have, speaking of somebody foreign, Ilka is going to be joining the, or already has joined the Atlanta Academy as a new assistant coach to kind of help with the team after their kind of slow start. Ilka is actually coming over from
One Point.
So another European coach coming over.
And speaking of One Point, Latex leaves the team One Point, and Colsty will return back to play after being their head coach to fill Latex's place. And then Yakids joins on the DPS and Zarya role mainly. So I think their coach is now also their player. It's interesting.
Yeah, Colsty was the
I think it was just a quick sub in. So I think that Latex left for a second, and then Colsty temporarily filled in for like a game, and then they went back to get your kids in or your quids or whatever.
Yeah, however you spell those or say those letters.
Yeah.
So then, speaking about Second Wind, Second Wind adds "Hello, I'm Halo" with probably one of the greatest Twitter gifs. Like that you could possibly have. It's hilarious. It's a little scary baby running up the stairs. But he's coming over from NRG. He just announced, I believe it was last week, we talked about him, you know, announcing his departure from NRG. So it's kind of weird going from a, you know, academy team. I think he
got dropped from NRG, and then Pooks was like the main pickup, so they dropped NRG dropped Hello I'm Halo for Pooks, and then
Pooks.
Hello I'm Halo. Yeah, and so Halo needed to find a place to go, so he found Second Wind. And as we'll get into in a little bit, it's probably not a bad decision.
Mm-hmm. You're probably not.
And again, it's just when one spot is filled, a bunch of spots have to be vacated, and when one spot gets replaced, that spot gets vacated by someone. It's this whole big, you know, the cause and effect bonanza here. And so now, so Pooks joins NRG, Hello I'm Halo leaves NRG, goes and joins Second Wind, and then Reptile, who was on Second Wind, now is on X other team or has just left. What does it actually say? Continuing his journey down the path to pro. So basically, he got kicked because Hello, I'm Halo is better. Feels bad, but, you know,
well,
that's the way the tier 2 cookie crumbles.
Reptile was one of the coaches, and Hello, I'm Halo is flagged as an actual support for Second Wind.
Really?
Yeah. Which, that's why I found it a little odd, because
it says he was a support.
Reptile?
Yeah.
I swear Liquipedia had him.
Because Flubby and Wheats are their two coaches. And former players support. He's on the team called Tea Party now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was thinking of somebody else. But I have been seeing a lot of stuff about this Tea Party. It's a new European Open Division team that's like doing the whole giant Twitter announcements and like professional graphics and everything. So might have to take a look at them once Open Division starts up. So our last bit of news here is it's kind of a short news week. Young and Beautiful are kind of bolstering up their DPS core, adding Juna. And then Feichel is coming over to take over the head coach role for Young and Beautiful. Just kind of doing those beginning of season shuffles, basically. Nothing too crazy here. Not a bunch of news. So that's going to actually wrap up the news and take us down into our next segment here. But before we get into that, we've got a quick word from our sponsor. Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase. And there is nothing for this week in Overwatch, so we're going to roll right down into the quick play. We've got NA West Week 1. We saw the Atlanta Academy fall to the Sky Foxes 3-1. That was kind of a shocker. Then we've got XL2 beating Phase 2 3-1, followed up by Envy taking it to Square 1 4-0. And then NRG wrapping up the night, taking the win over second gen 4-0. Really, the only one that's interesting is the Sky Foxes over Atlanta, which we'll actually talk about a little bit later on once we get down further.
Yeah, and then moving on, so that was technically last week's, and then this is technically this week's because this was yesterday's matches.
Yes.
We have Second Wind going up against UA Uprising Academy. I'm like, United Artists? What? No. It's Uprising Academy. 3-1. Second Wind takes this, which is kind of a bit of an upset. They are on kind of a tear now. They're 2-0, whereas Uprising is 0-2 now, I think. It's a rough start for them. Gladiators Legion take the win over Montreal, who's also having a bit of a rough start, I believe.
Montreal is, I believe, Second Wind is 1-1 right now. Montreal is 0-2.
I thought Second Wind is 2-0, right? Oh no, because they lost to Fusion. Okay, yep. That's what it is.
But it was a close one to Fusion.
Yeah, that's fair. And then Mayhem Academy on kind of the continuing the theme of unsigned or teams getting dumpstered by the signed teams. Mayhem Academy takes the 4 over Chicken Contendees. And lastly, Fusion Uni dropping a map, but not as bad as it was previously, to Bermuda take the 3-1. Does Fusion University.
Yes. And then heading over to the other side of the pond, we're going to talk about EU real quick. On March 7th, we saw Team Gigante do Team Gigante things and 4-0 the Eternal Academy. And then Young and Beautiful fall to Shoes Money Crew EU. Both of these matches were 4-0s. That's kind of how EU typically goes. We see a bunch of 4-0s coming out of the matches over there. And then on March 8th, we saw the British Hurricane go up against the Samsung Morning Stars, who I believe last week beat
Eternal Academy,
ran all over them. This week, they fall to the British Hurricane 3-2, and then 1 point drop their second match here against Angry Titans. They lose that one 3-2.
And then over in Korea, we have Runaway taking the 4-0 against Geekstar. An interesting match here is that Element Mystic falls 4-0 to WGS Armament. We'll kind of get into that a little bit later here. Then on the 6th, we had GC Busan Wave fall 3-2 to O2 Blast. And then lastly, MVP Space, I think this is, take out Gen G again. So Gen G is really not having a great start so far. I'm pretty sure they're super duper low here, right? They're only 0-1.
Technically relegated last season, but they got the free buyback in. Gen G needs to figure out their stuff real quick here. So that
were there matches last night? Hold on.
Yes, there.
This morning. Okay, I didn't see these. So we have.
Let's run those down.
Yeah, we have WGS Armament falling 3-1 to Runaway, and then O2 Blast take the win over Geekstar.
Okay.
So Runaway and O2 are the only two teams at 2-0 so far for Korea.
And then the other ones, the other matches will be tomorrow morning?
Yes, tomorrow at like 2 a.m.
2 a.m. Yeah, time zones. It's all kinds of weird. But that's going to take us into our main discussion, which we're actually going to start with the Element Mystic versus WGS Armament matchup here. We picked this one because Element Mystic was the runner-up to last season, only losing out to Runaway. So you figure that they would come into the season and would just, you know, continue being the second team in the Korean region. But then they fall to WGS Armament, who was a trials team. Now, granted, they were the number one trials team. But getting 4-0'd, man, that's a pretty big turnaround from going from runner up to, you know, getting dumpstered by a trials team. So, Kyle, you got a little bit of notes here.
Yeah. So basically, and this is like from what I watched after like after the first like two games, I kind of got an idea of like, oh, okay, that's what it is. It just seems like Element Mystic are not a team that knows how to play around Azaria well, and Sparkle, who is absolutely nuts on every other hero, just doesn't seem to really be doing what he needs to be doing on the Azaria. There's a lot of team fights where Sparkle will throw out a grav, and then it just seems like the team of Element Mystic is having trouble like capitalizing on it. So they're not setting up their combos right, they're not target focusing correctly, or something like that. Whereas it seems like last season, right, even in the finals, we saw Sparkle primarily play non-Zarya heroes. I think that like Doomfist is officially like no longer, even for him who kind of forced it.
Yeah, you can't force it in.
It's just no longer feasible, and having to play to other team styles and having to play kind of not their own strengths here, it really seems to be hurting them. But then on the side of WGS Armament, they seem to be playing kind of an interesting style here, and it's like counter ulting, right? So we see that some teams like to just counter play, so like have teams initiate fights into them. They're only kind of doing that with ultimates. So they're waiting for, like, they waited for Element Mystic to utilize ultimates. So they waited for them to grab first, and then they grabbed. They waited for them to, you know, beat first, and then they beat it. And what that means is, as long as you don't lose anyone early in the fight, now you have beat lasting longer, you have grab lasting longer, and you can utilize those, and you have the leg up going out of that team fight because you can get the picks because you're not in the grab anymore, and they're still stuck in the grab. So it's kind of an interesting play that they kind of do with most of their ultimates. They're just trancing second, beating second, grabbing second. Everything is just, they're waiting for you to initiate first, and then they kind of do it slightly better. And then Flora is, I think he was pretty much just playing Sombra most of the time here.
Most of it, yeah.
Looked pretty strong. His also, his Hanzo was pretty good as well. And you have a note here as well?
Yeah, Flora straight lived in Element Mystic's backline. If he wasn't dropping, you know, 4 to 5 man EMPs, he was hunting down their Zenyatta in the back, not even hacking and then clipping them. He would just open up with a clip to hold his hack and just completely delete the Zen. Translocate out. WGS wins the team fight because they're down their Zen. It happened quite a few times. Unfortunately, the production for both of the Korean matches that we watched was kind of rough. I mean, I play Overwatch. I never realized how difficult it is to watch Overwatch without a commentator. Because there's actually a couple long stretches where there's no casters. And I'm watching it. I'm trying to keep up with everything that's going on and watch every corner of the map. And I'm like, crap, did I miss something? So hopefully we get a little bit better production. This one just had a lot of Twitch was dying. Audio was dying. The next matchup we're going to talk about, I couldn't see half of the stuff. It, like, the video quality was horrible for some reason.
Yeah. That was something weird there.
It was super weird. I do believe ZP mentioned something. They've got all of it fixed. But, I mean, these guys are staying up till, like, 4 in the morning to do these. So I appreciate it. But, I mean, we got to work on that production.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is they're getting a feed from the... I don't know if it's the... I think it's the spectating team in Korea, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're getting... The casters are getting the feed from there and then casting over it. And so if the feed is bad... The video's bad, but then also on top of that, I'm pretty sure the one I watched was Jaws and Leg Day, who are also from EU right now. So we have I think an NA production team doing like the final final mix, but then you also have casters from EU and a video feed from the game from Korea. So boy oh boy, this is a heck of a production, and the fact that they were able to like even get something on the screen in the first place is a miracle in and of itself. So
yes.
Shouts out to production team. We believe in you.
Yeah.
But please help us out here.
ELO Hell is doing God's work doing this.
I'm pretty sure Mirai, who's kind of part of our community, is the main production.
Yes.
Yes, coordinator there. So
yep.
Shouts out to them.
They are definitely doing work. But that's going to take us into our second matchup that we wanted to cover. And that's O2 Blast going up against GC Busan Wave. So start us off with your notes here, Kyle.
So for O2 Blast, these are just kind of two teams I didn't really know anything about, and I kind of wanted to dig in and see if we spot any particular player who's just like, oh my god, this guy is sick. And we'll get to that in just a minute here, because there was one player that was absolutely nuts to me. But Era was pretty good. He was playing the Brigitte here, and there was a couple times when these GC Busan Brigitte was kind of just out of position, and he did a good job of like punishing that and punishing other players' mispositionings. So if the Winston dove up a little too far and got out of bubble, well, he got bashed and then deleted. You know, it's kind of just good heads up play here. It's hard to really shine on a Brigitte, so Arrow's kind of doing what he is trying to do. He's working his best, but
swinging that flail.
It's unfortunate. Right, it's so hard to kind of get a read on, like, are they a good Brigitte or a bad Brigitte? Like, if they die, they're probably not a good Brigitte, but other than that, it's kind of hard to tell. And then Proper, who's their Zarya player, builds grabs so freaking fast, but oh my god, just all of them, just it doesn't matter how fast you can build grab if they all get defense matrix.
Yes.
So that needs to be something that we see a change in before, like I can advocate either, you know, of these two players get picked up or looked at further. And then on the side of GC Busan Wave, kind of interesting things here. Like their support line is very well coordinated. So Fielder, who's the Zenyatta player, and Daydream, who's the Lucio, are really, really good at staggering and rotating their ult in a really well coordinated way. So you'll have, you know, in a fight where they're using both, they're like, okay, this is a must-win fight, we need to use both, they throw the trance out first, wait until the trance is like 99% done, then beat comes out, a little bit of lay, or just a little tiny overlap just to be safe, then they can win the fight off of that. Even in a chaotic team fight where they've got like the grab bomb combo coming out, or a shatter bomb, they always have a call before time, okay, is it me or is it you who's ulting? And I don't think we saw a single like doubled up support ult here, which was super good to see. And then lastly, man, Edison, right? Zarya's pretty good, but if you want to watch just like a straight McCree highlight reel, look up the Oasis University map here, because the guy just literally is not contested. Like they try to contest him, right? O2 Blast is like really, really, really trying to like shut him down here with the D.Va, the Winston. And he's just like, okay, flashbang, fan the hammer, roll, fan the hammer, D.Va's out. Click heads, two, both supports are dead. Like, there's just nothing anyone could have done on this map. It was absolutely nuts.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about Proper getting his grabs eaten. Free, who I believe they just announced like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, joining the team. I believe he's fairly new.
As like a sub. I think he was technically speaking supposed to be a sub here.
Yeah.
Or was he?
But he looked solid on the D.Va. He got a ton of grabs that he was able to eat. Had a couple nice bombs, solo bombs. So definitely, as far as the flex tank goes, I think Free took this one against O2 Blast's D.Va player. Definitely. So keep an eye on Free also. Not as flashy as some of the other D.Vas that we see, but definitely solid.
Yeah, it was really good play from him. And then to our last kind of focus game here, we wanted to look at whether there are issues with Atlanta Academy or there are, you know, key players to watch in the Sky Foxes team. And the answer is yes. Yes to that. Atlanta Academy, like, they did solid on control. And they did a good job of kind of punishing Clone Man when they could. So they had Gator playing, who Gator is a skilled tank here, and he was able to kind of hold his own against Clone Man, who's also a pretty skilled tier 2 tank. But that's kind of where things go downhill here.
There's one thing to note. Atlanta Academy wins one map. That's Ilios, the first map. And it's the one map that Buds does not play Sombra. Not 1 minute is Buds on Sombra. He plays Mei and he plays Zarya for the entirety of Ilios. And Atlanta takes Ilios. And then we get into all the other maps.
And kind of continuing on looking at Atlanta here. Saucy, right? So we know that Atlanta Academy previously had Dogman, and as we have seen now in the Overwatch League, he's a not like, you know, your top five just yet. He's working on it, but he's still very clearly an Overwatch League caliber Zenyatta player. And who fills his shoes but Saucy, who was I'm pretty sure the Zarya player for them previously. Looked okay on that, and now he's playing flex support.
Super weird.
And he, like, my note here is that he looks like a non-support playing support. Like, he looks like he is not a support player. He looks like he is a DPS player who has just been thrown on to support and is just figuring it out. Trances just feel off, his timing, the pacing. You can tell that he hasn't played a lot because it feels like very often Zenyattas are trancing when it feels right. Like, they have played this hero for at least a year, basically nonstop, if not more. And you just kind of have a feeling. It's a gut instinct of like, okay, time to trance. Not like, okay, well, I mean, they have two people down, but like, is this fight really a one to invest trance? No, they just know. It doesn't seem like he quite knows just yet. There's times when he'll like trance after like one or two of his teammates gets picked. It just feels off. Another kind of big point here, I don't want to just harp on the negatives too much here. Hawk has kind of looked previously, like every single time we've seen him, he's just got a little bit better, Like, not giant leaps, but little tiny steps. And that's
constantly,
you know,
progressing.
I remember seeing him as a player I wanted to look out for, I think on No Clout, I think. Or one of those, you know, absolutely tier 3 teams.
Yeah, the horrible teams.
And he was just like, hey, this guy looks pretty good. He's doing okay. I think it was him and Hypnot who both looked like pretty well coordinated. And now looking at it, well, both of them are on pretty big name academy teams. So, you know, I maybe I can spot talent. I don't know. If nothing else, I could spot the fact that he is clearly improving here. He's got good bombs, not just bombs set up by grabs or shatters, but like, he can get one by itself, just kind of throwing it out there. He also is doing a really good job of getting the grab eats here with the defense matrix. So far, pretty good from him.
He's definitely got good angles on his bombs. I don't think we've ever seen him like just go a whole game where he's had horrible bombs.
But I think he's always kind of gotten one.
I want to talk a little bit about the newest signing to Atlanta Academy, and that's Perfect, because he was far from it this match. He didn't stand out. Now, we know that a lot of these players that are not NA natural players currently aren't in NA. So he's playing from Korea right now. Is that the reason? Possibly. We've seen Who Are You do phenomenal things on Korean ping. So I want to see Perfect on NA ping. Like, I want to see him with the team. But when it came down to his Sombra play, man, Buds just completely outplayed him. Nothing really stood out. Like, everybody, the signing happened and everybody was all excited. I really hope that tomorrow we see something better out of Perfect, because if not, they really need to look into moving Saucy back down to DPS and bringing in an actual flex support.
This whole thing just feels weird. Like, this team just feels like this is very clearly not your optimal setup. Yeah. And you're, I think, a team that can get good players. Like, there's lots of good players. There's a bunch of good players on a bunch of unsigned teams that you could just like, yo, can I get your Zen, please? I will actually pay him money. And they're not going to say, no, I don't want to pay money. I don't want to get paid. I just want to sit on this nothing team for even more. Like, you've got, you know,
you've
got the room to do it. It feels weird.
If Atlanta grabs a mediocre Zen player that's an actual Zen player, you put them behind Gator and Hawk on the tank line and Sugar Free and Saucy on the DPS and, you know, flexing to, you know, Brig or Zarya, whatever it might be, it's 100% better than having Saucy play your Zenyatta. Like, we know Atlanta's got money. Spend some money. Fix your academy team. But now, let's talk about some Sky Foxes. This is the team that had 9.7 million players and 2.3 million coaches at one point in time.
And now they're down to eight?
Eight.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yep, exactly eight.
It's probably the most solid eight that has played under the Sky Foxes banner so far.
Is Verbo a coach now? What?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I didn't see that. Wait, it said it, and then I don't see it anymore. What? Weird. It says it on there. If you are on the main page and like kind of looking at their highlight in contenders, it shows Verbo as a coach. Then if you click on Skyfox, it doesn't show Verbo.
The edits might be messed up.
Yeah. Anyways, so let's talk about Skyfox here. Their target focus is sick. Like, I think it was good for this team to go through trials, right? I think that it was a good opportunity, and especially considering how many I think two of the trials teams in contenders had a losing record.
Yes.
And so it's very clear, like, the baseline for how good you need to be as a trials team to get into contenders was low this last season. So Skyfoxes, who were already a pretty good team here and there, right? They were just like, they were definitely contenders level, but just couldn't get win. I mean, they weren't contenders, but they just needed some time to get work, you know, to work on their coordination here, on their target focus. And throughout trials, we saw them do pretty well. And we wanted to know, okay, well, how does this team look when they get into the minor league, right? They were messing around in single A, double A, but now they're called up to triple A. And we're curious as to how they looked. Their target focus is strong. You don't see, you know, six people fighting six other people. You see six on ones very, very often here. If one person is out of position, it's not just one player on Skyfox is punishing that positional mistake. It's everyone. So whoever's doing their target calling is doing a phenomenal job. The coordination around EMPs, right? So we'll get into this a little bit later, right? But if you can EMP six people, but your team does not focus the right people, or if you even do six and then you leave someone else, like you leave the Rein, you know, up, it's really easy to lose a fight even if you get a great EMP.
Yep.
This team does not lose fights if they get good EMPs off. And part of the reason they got good EMPs was because of a man named Buds, who I think it was last week, I went back and watched a couple of like old school tournaments. Like, I watched MLG Vegas and I watched Overwatch Open, and I'm like sitting there like looking at Buds, like, this guy's like experienced here, and like he's just still been grinding for like 2 years, and half of that was like on unsigned teams. And sure, there was the whole little mix up here with the accidentally kind of leaking Houston Outlaws' roster and he may have screwed himself out of that. But like, it is no doubt that the guy is skilled, right? We saw him on, who did he play on before Envy? Envision, I think, for a little bit. Yes. Then Envy for a little bit, and then got dropped from Envy. Now he's on Skyfox, and every team he's been on, he's just looked stellar. Like, he's just looked consistent, and at, like, consistent at worst and great at best. And so this is a player that I think, barring some personality issues, I think is Overwatch League caliber. I don't think he's top 10, but I think any team that's slightly struggling, like, okay, big brain time. Who does not have what Overwatch League team is really struggling right now and is just having a ton of issues with hit scan DPS players? I mean, with just DPS in general, right? They've got a fantastic tank line, pretty good support line, but they're having trouble figuring out who they're running in a certain support spot. You've got Kareev on a DPS, you've got KSF, who's looked always not great.
And it does look like they're transitioning away from Korean players, because they just cut their
Korean coaches, yeah.
They cut their coach and their translator.
Right. And so if you want to fill this gap, right? If you're LA Valiant and you're like wondering what am I doing here? We've got a support player playing DPS. We've got another DPS who we've tried to shoehorn in but just hasn't looked great. Pick up Buds, bro. He's killing it. Like, his Zarya is okay, but like, we've seen Overwatch League teams be just dismantled by great Sombra play. Yep. And yes, he is technically untested, right, with the Sombra play. Like, he has not beat, you know, top level. He's not made it to the finals yet. He's not, you know, beat Fusion University. But like, still, holy crap, give this man a shot.
Yeah.
The target selection he gets with his EMPs is great value. And then I'm going to let you get into this kind of stats breakdown here.
All right. So
exactly how good this guy is.
After I watched this matchup, I was like, man, it was like every team fight, there was an EMP, or like there was just a crazy six-man here or a five-man there. So I went back and I rewatched it. And I only watched Bud's little nameplate. And as soon as he got EMP, I marked it down. I paused it, and I marked it down. And then I watched until he used it. And I counted up how many people he got. And if there was anything of importance in that EMP. So, let's break down Buds' EMPs. In total, against Atlanta Academy, Buds had 20 EMPs. Now, mind you, that's one whole map where he did not play Sombra, and a map where they capped it so quick he wasn't even able to build one EMP on that attack. That's where we're standing at right now. So of the possible 120 enemies that he could have hit with his EMP, he got 90 total hacks, resulting in 75% of possible Atlanta Academy team players being hacked due to Buds' EMPs. That's a pretty good stat line right there. 75% of your EMPs landing on high-value targets nonetheless. He only had three of his EMPs actually get canceled out by a trance. And those, like we said about Saucy kind of started to get timing down a little bit, but it was far too late by the time he was getting those off. So only 17 of 20 perfectly landed EMPs. Now, in those 17, he stripped away two rallies, literally right at the start of a rally, and one beat at the start of a beat. He prevented Saucy from using trance twice. And then this is the big one right here. So he got a total of 4 6-man EMPs, 2 separate back-to-back 6-mans on 2 different maps. there's times where we don't see one six man over the course of a whole series. He got four, two back to backs. He's just literally, when we talk about a good Sombra, I don't think you can talk about anybody better right now in contenders, possibly in the Overwatch League. When we talk Sombras only, this guy builds EMPs so quick, it's absolutely insane, and his timing with them is perfect, 100%. We've been saying this since season two of year one, I believe.
I remember, yeah, just the constant, like, why are we not playing Buds and Jar? Why are we not playing Buds and Jar? Why are we trying to do this thing? Buds and Jar was the best combination.
This has been a thing forever, and, like, people need to see it. These stats are absolutely insane what he does.
And so something that we do need to note, right? They are currently, like, untested, technically. They have played one team, mm-hmm. and that looked great, and that was, technically speaking, against a team without an actual Zenyatta player. They play against Envy next, who Envy are... I guess we don't really know just yet because they only beat Square One. Mm-hmm. We know that they're not... that, like, they're definitively better than one of the best Trials teams.
Yep.
They play against Envy, then XL2, and then NRG. So these next 3 weeks, we are going to really get an idea of, like, if he can maintain this good of a performance, if not even slightly worse, but, like, still pretty good, I think that this guy is going to make himself a great case to be picked up here by a Valiant, heck, even a Justice or a Mayhem, maybe? I mean, they have BQB on Sombra, but, like, maybe that's not their problem. So maybe not Mayhem, but maybe, like, at least definitely Valiant, maybe Justice.
I think Valiant would be the best fit.
Yes, absolutely.
For his play style. And, man, I would love to see him get the call-up. Just his consistency on Sombra. We know that he can play the Widowmaker. We've seen him on Widow just do great things. So if we get back into... We know the meta's about to shift. So if we get a meta where he can play Sombra and flex to the Widow when they don't need the Sombra, this is your guy right here.
And he also has, like, a decent Tracer, a decent McCree.
Yep.
Plays the Mei well. Like, the guy is... He can do quite a lot here. And so I think that, like... Let's just, you know... Let's stop kidding ourselves here. Like, I don't think Kareev is better than this guy can be. Like,
no.
I don't think I remember when KSF got picked up, Alpha of Simplicity, we're like, really?
I remember covering that. I mean,
yeah, we're like, what?
Not to throw shade or anything, but I mean, OK is quite generous. When they signed KSF, I believe in that very episode, we both said, why didn't they sign Buds? Like, I'm almost positive we talked about Buds.
I want to look back on that and see if we actually have been big braining this, seeing the flaw in their plan since day one. I don't know, but I'm hoping hoping that we're better scouts for Valiant than they are. I don't.
Yeah, we might have to send that tape in. Like, we told you guys this a year ago.
LA Valiant, hire me. Literally, like.
Yeah, you're down the street.
Last little note here for Sky Fox is Clone Man, aka Jane's roommates, looking strong so far. Okay, there's one thing that, like, every time I think of Clone Man, I think of him in those, they did the PTR pugs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just a week ago. There was a time they were playing Orisa on King's Row, and he gets, like, EMP'd or something, he runs away, like, oh, crackers! And I just cannot think of it without thinking of it with Clement just yelling, oh, crackers, as, like, my favorite, like, you know.
Wholesome.
Yeah. And so it should be noted, like, he is doing well so far. Nothing, like, world beater, nothing bumper-esque just yet. But he's playing good, consistent Reinhardt, which is kind of all you can ask in a GOATS team, honestly. As long as you're not feeding, and I don't think he ever fed, really. He had a couple, like, minor misplays, but, like, he never truly, like, what are you doing?
I mean, back when he was on XL2, like, there was a time where it was like, why are you playing him over who y'all? And then they
or Tizzy, right?
Tizzy.
Yeah.
And then Tizzy started to, you know, kind of lack, and they brought Clone Man back in, and Clone Man was doing phenomenal.
And you're like, why is Tizzy ever playing again? Like,
don't ever put Tizzy back in. So like, I'm glad to see Clone Man on a team that's thus far is doing well. Because he's one of the ones that definitely, I don't think anybody in the league needs a main tank right now, but season three, Clone Man is a very solid possibility to be a starting main tank for a new expansion team.
Right. Especially if you're looking to try to build like an NA roster, because obviously there's a ton of good Korean tanks. There's a ton of good EU tanks as well. NA tanks, there really aren't that many. Like, you've got Muma, you've got
Space.
Well, yeah, as like tank. And you've got Clone Man and you've got Gator. And
yeah.
I'm trying to think of other like big name ones. It's just they're just not a ton. So if you're trying to build like a pure NA team, if you're trying to build Houston 2.0 and don't enjoy winning matches but want to build a marketable team, I guess. I don't know. Sure. Pick up Clone Man. Oh, and I also have to note the freaking sniper fire strikes, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of great, like, okay, the far is running away. Fire strike. Oh, she's dead from across the map. Or, you know, the Widowmaker is like in the window on King's Row and you're on Streets phase. You launch it all the way up there and knock her out. So there's a lot of great snipes from him on the fire strikes.
Yeah.
But that'll wrap it up for us, right? On
yes, sir. Our
kind of main discussion, player spotlight thing. I think we're finding our stride here. It seems like we're kind of figuring out how we want to do this, and I kind of like this because we're focusing on good players here.
I like it a lot better than actually just recapping the maps.
Yeah,
like this feels a lot better. You know, grabbing out the important info and just talking and discussing that. So yeah, I'm digging this format better.
And then for this, I think we should probably flip the community intel and speculation station, just matching with like, never mind. Because I thought these were for last week's, but no, they're. We'll talk about when we start doing these. We'll talk about what the community voted.
Yes,
as we talk.
Right. Because here's the weird thing: we probably should, because the community intel for this week. Because I'm a slacker. And Mr. Shrugoff, thank you, Shrugoff, called me out. I've been forgetting to post the polls, so I posted the polls late. So let's do the community intel real quick. I will run these down real fast. I threw up the polls yesterday. I gave it a full day's worth of votes, and this is what the community thought the results of this week's matches were going to be. Now, granted, I want to point out that the matches for yesterday slightly skewed because people were able to vote for a little while after the matches happened. So the Uprising Academy got 38%, with Second Wind taking 62%. Community definitely felt that Second Wind was taking this matchup. This one, man, this is tough. This is tough. I'm sorry, Montreal, but not a single person had the faith that you were going to beat the Gladiators Legion. Gladiators Legion take the community vote 100-0. Absolutely insane. I think that's... I don't even think we've seen that on a Fusion University matchup. Like,
there's always people voting for them to go the other way.
There's always somebody voting, shrug off, for them to go the other way. So, man, that's crazy. And then Mayhem Academy, the community got that one right, 73%. Over Chicken Contendies, 27%. And then Fusion University took 93%, over Bermudas, 7%. And Shrugoff did mention that he is breaking his vote against FU. He has always voted against FU, but he voted for Fusion this time. He said, until they lose, but I'm giving the Blevins patented 5-0 win. He had 100% faith that Fusion University was beating Bermuda this week. And then these are for tomorrow's matches. We see Sky Foxes taking 45% of the vote, against Envy's 55%. So the community's got Envy taken this week. And then Atlanta Academy, 75% over Second Gen's 25%. Then we have Phase 2 44% against NRG's 56%. These ones are a lot closer here. And then we get down to square one. Square one versus XL2. 71% believe that XL2 is going to take the match over square one's 29%. And again, I will get out probably literally right after tonight's show the polls for next week, because now we're going to give our speculation on who we think are going to win next week's.
And I did notice we did something weird here for NA West. It's technically speaking, it's for the games after our next show.
Yeah.
And so we should probably just real quick on the spot do the ones for tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Who you got? Sky Foxes versus Envy.
I'm really feeling the Sky Foxes roster, man.
Is Krill in NA yet? I don't think he's.
I don't think he is. The last I heard, he was still in Australia.
I need to find this out.
Even if Trill is in NA, I'm giving this to Sky Foxes. I think Sky Foxes have found their roster. They're working with their roster. I mean, they did. This is a team that went 0-7. Oh,
because Fisher's in. Right. Yep. Okay. And yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Sky Foxes went 0-7 last contenders. Dropped all of the dead weight. Rebuilt the roster with a solid roster going into trials. Absolutely dominated trials. And I mean, come in and are already looking good. Like, yeah. Until I see a little bit of falter in Sky Foxes, I think I'm going to ride the Sky Foxes train for a while. So, yeah, Sky Foxes over Envy.
All right. I think I give it to Sky Foxes as well, but like a 3-2. Yeah, I think
this one will be close. Because,
like, I think when Trill gets in, I think Envy would be able to take this one, but it doesn't matter because they don't play again.
Yep.
And so I think Sky Foxes take this. Atlanta versus second gen now.
Atlanta.
Like, even with the problems, we kind of both are feeling Atlanta. Like, yep. And so is the community, right? So that makes sense.
I mean, second gen, it's a whole new roster. I mean,
the whole deck and different gen.
Yeah. There's only one, technically two different pieces in Atlanta Academy, and I'm sure after last week, they are working very hard to fix any issues that, you know, may pop up for tomorrow's matchup. So, all right, Phase 2 versus NRG, who you got?
NRG, man. They're a roster that people, like, even us, we keep kind of, you know, underestimating them. I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I think they're going to continue to do pretty well here. I think that they have shown that, like, to be a... You know, everyone does, you know, 20% of the work perfectly to be that, or I don't know, whatever 600 divided by 6, whatever that the exact perfect value is.
Yep.
Everyone's doing their part.
Yeah. NRG, easy. No questions there. This is probably another real easy one. Square one, XL2.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jolfi. We're going to go XL2, bud.
Until I see otherwise, XL2.
They have lots of money and good Korean players, and they bought the best players from Second Wind as well. So
yeah, they bought all of the good parts from Second Wind. So XL2 easy on that one. So let's get into next week's matchup. So we have week 3 NA East. Taking place on March 18th. Our first matchup is going to be Bermuda versus Chicken Contendees. Kyle, who do you have taking this matchup?
I got Chicken Contendees 3-1. Bermuda has just not looked super great, and I'm pretty sure they're the team who lost Hipknot, and so they had to fill the gap in, which is a bit rough to see.
Yeah, they filled him in with Umte,
and they just didn't look super hot. I think they're 0-2 right now.
Yes.
Yeah, they're 0-2.
I'm also going Chicken Contendees, basically for the same reason. Umte's not in the States. Bermuda does not have the money to get him to the States. Bermuda's going to have a rough run this season, I think, with a foreign main tank. Don't see it really working out for him. So then we got...
And then,
oh, you go ahead.
Okay, Fusion University versus Uprising Academy. We have seen Uprising Academy kind of having some issues here. Fusion University, sure, they dropped a couple of maps, but I think that was more Second Wind being just like absolutely nuts, mainly Gods being absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
But Uprising, and we saw the tweet from Io Stux just talking about how there was just a lot of issues. He knows what to do now, but I think against other teams, yeah, that like understanding what the problem is, it works, but I don't think that works against Fusion University. So I think they're going to take the L on this one. 4-0, what you got?
I'm going Fusion University. I'm going to give Boston one map. I mean, this very well could go 3-2 simply because it is Fusion University, but I'm only going to give him the one. You know, never bet against Fusion, basically. Yep. Until they give us a reason to. We've thought in the past they've given us reason to, and we've done it, and we looked like dummies. So not this
the time. The only reason to ever think that they'll ever lose is that they have already lost.
Yes, basically.
Like, they could get a whole new roster. They could literally pick up 6 new players I've never heard of and put me as the head coach. And I'm still going to vote for us just because
it's Fusion
just based on the name enough. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we've got Second Wind versus Gladiators Legion. Second Wind is looking hot. Gladiators Legion is looking pretty good. Who you got going?
I got the God's Redemption arc in full force. Not full force, but like in a 3-2. But I still think, like, I think in terms of like your Gamsu or Neko stories of like, you kicked me from your team, I'm going to come back and clap your team.
Yep.
I think Second Wind are going to take this.
100%
also
agree.
Also, the you should have never have left us made.
Yeah.
You should have never left us made, and now we're going to beat you on your new team.
Oh, man. There's so many good storylines in this matchup.
This is a great matchup. I think we need to watch this one. I think we really need to give this one a watch.
I think this is one of our focus matches for next week. Second win, 3-1. I'm going to give Gladiators Legion one map, and that's me being generous because Gods is going to come in hot. Everybody else is like, all right, well, you signed our former head coach. Well, we're coming for you. Yeah, man, great matchup right there.
And then Mayhem Academy versus the Montreal Rebellion.
This hurts my soul so bad.
Mayhem are at 2-0 with literally a flawless map record. They have five more map wins than Fusion University.
But I need to point out they've beat Bermuda.
Yeah.
And they've beat and Chicken Contendies. They've beat the two trials teams. Now
stats require context. Looking at you, Justice coaching staff.
Yeah,
stats require context.
Shots fired.
Not by them.
No, never by them. they're just standing there taking those L's with ease. But yeah, Mayhem, it hurts me to say this because I was really pulling for everybody, like Chain, Tensa, Naga. Like, I think Rebellion can be a great team once they're like, Logics. They're all...
It's just going to take time.
It's going to take time. They're all up at the house now. They posted a picture that everybody's there. Nomi's there. Everybody's there. It's everything's good. Now they just need the time to work together. I don't think that it's going to be this week, unfortunately. So Mayhem Academy 4-0. Perfect again.
Yeah, going in with a 12-0 into week 4, that's something. I have it going 3-1, but like I still think this is easily flippable. Like
100%.
We saw with Gladiators, the LA Gladiators team. They were a team that were like, okay, well, the parts are all here, but they're still early on. They haven't had time to work in things. We know they're gonna click, but we just don't know when. That I feel like that's we saw Gladiators just click when it came to playing Atlanta. I think it's gonna click for Montreal soon. I think in a week or two, I think that they're just going to be like, okay, well, we've played together, you know, one just straight week of great scrims, great VOD review. We all are on the same page. We all trust each other. Everything clicks 4-0 Rebellion. Mayhem Academy just get decimated. Like, I can see it at this point, but I I'm not going to put my money on it just yet.
Yep. 100% agree. So then we're going to go over to NA West, which is going to take place on March 20th. Our first matchup is NRG versus Square One. What are you thinking for this, Kyle?
NRG 4-0. I haven't seen anything from Square One just yet that made me want to flip this.
I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give it to NRG 3-1. Square One's going to get one map. It's in their name. They have to.
They got to. Atlantan Academy versus Envy here. I think you gotta go Envy. I think the question is Atlanta gonna fill their Zen spot before Envy get their Trill situation figured out?
True. Very
that's
true.
That's the question. That's all literally up to external factors at this point. It doesn't matter how they play in game, it's just does this thing on the outside get fixed, or does this thing on the outside get fixed? I think, at least.
But
I think Envy take it. 3-1.
I'm going the other way. I'm going Atlanta. Now, I'm being generous here, because I'm figuring one of two things is going to happen for Atlanta between now and next week. We have the game against Second Gen tomorrow. I'm sorry, Second Gen, for what I'm about to say. Please forgive me. Second Gen is going to be a scrim for Saucy to learn more on Zen. It is.
What if they get clapped?
If
Atlanta just get rolled tomorrow?
If they get straight dumpstered,
we could flip it.
I retract everything that I'm about to say.
Yep.
And it's going to Envy. but if Saucy, all of the other parts of Atlanta are solid and good.
Right.
But when you are literally missing, like, a support, a pretty big support at that, that's a big hole. So if Saucy, between now and tomorrow, gets his stuff figured out and is able to play second gen, you know, at even 50% better than what he played last week, he then has a week of scrims leading up to Envy. His other teammates will be able to fill in the small cracks that he's leaving, but not the full hole. Or if Atlanta is smart and they just pick up a mid-tier Zenyatta player that knows how to use Trance, knows how to call Discord orbs, and who to properly place the Discord orbs on, and has even the smallest amount of aiming capabilities with a projectile hero, Atlanta should be able to take this. 3-2. This is going to go down to 3-2. All three maps maps inside of, you know, the final King of the Hill map. So this will be a brawl. Atlanta Academy versus Envy. This is my brawl of the week. This is going to be the big one.
And then Second Gen versus Phase 2. This is kind of a weird one because both of these teams are kind of underwhelming. Like, technically, Second Gen got the invite back, but it's literally a whole new roster.
Mm-hmm.
And Phase 2 is kind of a new roster. And so there's just like no... there's just no like David versus Goliath factor. They're both Davids here.
This is two schoolyard kids swinging wet noodles at each other.
Yes.
That's what basically. This is.
Who do you have for this?
I'm taking Phase 2.
Okay.
Simply because I want the Kungarna stank to come off of Phase 2. And I think I think this is the one where they wash it off. This is it.
I think I have Second Gen here 4-0. I don't know why. I'm just like, screw it. Yeah, let's just try to go for kind of a riskier pick here. Like,
this is
they have a pretty good roster.
You throw it up and hope it sticks. Yeah. Like, there was no real good way to decide who wins this.
Yep. I think they have a good roster to Second Gen. I think they have a decent roster. I think they just need to have some time to get things to stick here, and we'll see.
Yep. And then our last one, Skyfoxes versus XL2. This is the test. This is the one that we're talking about for Skyfoxes right here. This is where we'll know whether or not Sky Fox's roster is the real deal, or if they're still just a mid-tier contenders team.
Or if it was just Atlanta being bad.
Yeah, exactly. So who do you have taking this one here?
I have XL2 3-1 here. I think that they have looked pretty good. I think that, who did they beat previously? XL2 beat
Phase 2
with a 3-1. I think that they can beat Sky Foxes. I'm gonna even switch. I'm switching to 3-2. But I think XL2 did this. Who do you got?
I said it when I was talking about Sky Foxes versus Envy. Until I see otherwise, I'm going with Sky Foxes. 3-2, this is going to be another just drag out monster matchup right here. A lot of new parts on XL2. Mm-hmm. We've seen them play one match so far with the new roster, and that's against Phase 2, who we just described as a schoolyard child with a wet noodle. Until I see more of XL2, like XL2 has solid players. It's a phenomenal roster, but until I see an actual like matchup that they can, you know, put under their belt. And unfortunately, Sky Foxes and Envy, I believe, are the only two in NA West that can actually stand up to that title of giving XL2 a run for their money. So yeah. Sky Foxes, 3-2. Brawl. Cool. Straight up. So that is, I believe, it. We are wrapped for the night. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle the Winner, Twitch whenever I can actually stream, but it's getting harder and harder to find time, so we will see. Kyle the Winner on Twitch as well.
You can find me on Twitter at Thorn Rain. I do all of my streaming right here on the Blackwatch Reports Twitch channel. Speaking of Twitch, if you're an audio listener, swing by the Twitch, create a free account, and hit the follow button. We shout out all of our followers. And if you happen to have Amazon Prime, you also get a Twitch Prime, and you can subscribe to the channel and get our sweet logo, our Blackwatch emblem. And the more subscribers we get, the more emotes we can unlock. And I can pay somebody to do my sweet Reaper holding a folder idea that I have in my head for an emote. But other than that, if you want to help out the show absolutely for free and make Kyle have to read what you write, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. 1 star, 5 star, it doesn't matter how many stars you give us, just give us some stars. And then leave a nice little note under there. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, and any critiques that you might have. We'll read it on the show, and we'll try to accommodate you and actually work on anything that might be wrong with the show or needs fixing. But other than that, you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. You can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. And you can follow the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our very own Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com. And you can come and chat with all of the hosts from our shows over on the Discord at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.